Well, good morning again.
Good morning.
I need to take a breath. It has been a moment since I've been here, so go with me as I'm using technology, and technology always has a way of showing up. And given the fact that we are in, retrograde, we're going to... Thank you, Spirit. It's always good to be back in the presence of family. I consider Holy Covenant my family. So let us see what the divine has to say to us today. Will you pray with me? Gracious, holy, divine one, I'm standing in the need of your power. So I ask right now that you empty me completely and that you fill me with your Holy Spirit. Remove any doubt, any anxiety, any questioning of this word, for you have given me what is needed to be said. Allow us to hear, allow us to sit in on this conversation as you take a moment to speak to us today. Grant us itching ears. Grant us movement in our limbs that when we leave this place, the words become life and the words become action. It is in your name that we offer this prayer of affirmation, confirmation, and deliverance. Amen. And so here we go, asking me all of these questions. So last week, many Christians across the land set aside a full day to spend time remembering the life and legacy of Jesus Christ. The pageantry story of the murder, if you will, of a revolutionary warrior for all of God's children. We focus on the unjust trial, the fact that Jesus never spoke but accepted the physical abuse for a crime he did not commit. What was his crime? Well, I'm so glad you asked. His crime was a desire to see the world as a community of care for one another. His crime was a desire to see the end of holding families hostage. His crime was a desire to end corruption in faith houses. His crime was a desire to end extortion in the countryside as farmers were forced to abandon their farmlands, their crops, and livestock, which were confiscated by large corporations, kings and the Roman Empire. Do you see where I am going here? Much like today, business deals are made in the name of progress, and who pays the price? Working families and people do. And they're already feeling the pressures of this life. They are living on the margins of society. They are vulnerable and often considered disposable. What do all the families have in common? Again, I'm glad you ask. They want to provide for their families. They want the best education. They want the best health care, housing, and wages that will give them a level playing field. Instead, they are disposable and at the same time, essential. Crime is escalating throughout this country, some for selfish reasons, while others are as a result of being pushed to the edge that committing a crime is necessary to feed their families is seen as the only option. Hunger, unhoused, medical care insufficiencies will sometimes force families to make drastic decisions. Now, on the other hand, what about the high-end crime that is wiping out communities through gentrification, condemning certain communities, increasing taxes, withholding funds from schools, healthcare, and the list goes on and on. The difference of what is happening in our country, city, and state today is in the name of crime. And then the innocence of our working poor. Globally, we witness nightly the genocide in Gaza as Palestinian families fight for the survival as they are attempting to secure food and medical supplies, were being fired upon. When their families are being rounded up and interrogated and then murdered. In Haiti, the country is in an uproar as the communities seized control from a corrupt government. In Ukraine, taking over, causing destruction in a country that simply wants to exercise their own autonomy. In parts of Africa, our LGBTQ communities are no longer safe because of whom they choose to love and live with. And then in our own backyard, we continue to witness families in jeopardy of losing jobs, homes, and access to health care. Students in public schools continue to fail in large percentages. And some of the harm we are experiencing in these scenarios claim Christianity as their faith of choice. So I am wondering now, what parts of the scripture did they fail to read or perhaps not understand? Now you're probably wondering, is there any good news here today? Well, Luke provides us with one simple instruction. So may I read it from the Passion Translation? All, not some, but all the believers were in one mind and heart. Selfishness was not a part of their community, for they shared everything they had with one another. The apostles gave powerful testimonies about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great measures of grace rested upon them all. Some who owned houses or land sold them and brought the proceeds before the apostles to distribute to those without. Not a single person among them was needy. Not a single person among them was needy. Now, the scripture presents us with a right way to live together as the divine would want us to. We might say that, or let me say that, if you remember, those of you who will admit, in the 60s and the 70s, there was a community known as the hippies. And they provided some great examples of what it meant to live in loving communities. Love, not war, was their theme, and that came about as a result of the Vietnam War. Now, these were young college students from middle-class families who rebelled against the norms of America during that time. They established communities or corporate cooperative lifestyles. They understood the need for a different way of living. While they benefited from the materialism and repression, they also saw how it disenfranchised other groups of people. Also during that time, the civil rights movement was fighting to have access to equity and acceptance in a country that considered blacks or African Americans as inferior and second class. The black church grabbed a hold to Acts chapter 4, 35 through 37, as it marched in the streets for justice, for voting rights, for civil rights, which we are still advocating today. Equity, inclusion, voting rights, women's rights, human rights. As a result of 400 years of enslavement, Jim and Jane Crow, segregation, voter suppression, blacks have always recognized the value of community. We live out it takes a village to raise a child. We knew how to use the herbs in the gardens for healing. We knew how to share crops and meats and food to feed communities. All the believers were one in mind and heart. Now, what does that really look like? Well, for me, church, it looks like if we are believers, then we must be as one in mind and heart. We must recognize that our assignment is to find what works for us to ensure that our communities near and far have all that is needed to live as we live daily. As a womanist theoactivist, I am inspired by the African principles of Ubuntu and Sao Bono. Now, what does that mean? It means for me to live life using these principles, encompassing the interdependence of humans and on one another, and acknowledge one's responsibility to our fellow humans and the world around us. Ubuntu's philosophy supports collectivism over individualism. It means that society gives human beings their humanity and their respect and their human dignity and compassion and solidarity and a consensus which demands conformity and loyalty to the group that's us. What does that look like in modern Africa society, you might ask? It looks like when there is calamity, communities who do not know each other, whose tribes and cultures are different, recognize that the need to survive is greater than their cultures. It looks like African communities using these principles to save their families. What does that look like for us, or what would that look like for us in America? This is how Luke is calling us to live. Amen? Living under the Roman Empire, Luke risked preaching a liberative gospel of care for one another. Luke contends that choosing to incorporate a lifestyle of living as Jesus commanded in Matthew 7:12, do to others whatever you would like them to do for or to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. The divine has a way of putting us in the right place at the right time to witness what this oneness in mind looks like. And that is the good news when we can think about being one in mind and heart. So I attended a gala event where three recipients were awarded for their local and national community contributions. The recipients each had a central theme of working together to achieve the best outcomes. A young man entered college as a shy freshman, but now transformed, and as a result of having mentors and instructors who really wanted the best for him, he shared how he was able to go into Microsoft, gain positions, but this young man was able to donate $10,000 to his alumni. The newly hired president spoke about how the community came to her rescue, how teachers saw something in her and made sure they poured into her, and now she serves as the 15th president of Johnson C. Smith. Another award recipient, retired president of Bennett College, began a program to mentor leaders who desire one day to become presidents of an HBCU. And as she stood there to receive her award, she called out the names: teachers, staff, children, relatives, all of those who had a way of pouring into her life. So when I reflect on what I experienced during the gala, I thought about the Sobono principle. Now, what is Sobono? It also is infused with the belief that when others see me, then I exist. When others see me, then I exist. So in other words, when we can see our reflection in others, then and only then do I exist. Am I here? Luke is being radical here as he is asking us to see how interconnected we really are. So as we prepare to receive communion, let us reflect on Luke's message to us: how rich and enriching our understanding and experiences as we commune today as one. For our message is infused with unity, sharing, and communal care among us. Communion is our connection to Christ and one another as members of the body. The symbolism of communion unites us in Christ's sacrifice and love. So just as the early church shared their possessions and ensured no one is in need or was in need, communion calls us to recognize and act upon our shared responsibility to care one for another in the spirit of love and generosity. As we partake in communion, let it be a reminder of our call to live in unity and love as we mirror the example of the early church. Let us be inspired to see and treat others with compassion, generosity, and understanding as we embody the principles of Ubuntu and Sobono, recognizing the divine image in each person and acting to ensure that everyone's needs are met in the community, locally, nationally, and globally. May our word be blessed. Ashe and amen.
Amen.